This is Ozarks at Large. Let's go into the past for just a few minutes. About 2.3 million years ago, the Pleistocene epoch began more than 2 million years ago and brought with it years, centuries, millennia of varying climate to the planet, alternating cooling and warming trends. The last cooling period, the last ice age, ended about 10,000 years ago as sea levels rose and hunters and gatherers were forced to alter their lives. Michael Jokum, a professor of anthropology at the University of California, Santa Barbara, has been studying Central Europe at the time of the end of the last ice age, and will discuss his work tonight on the University of Arkansas campus as part of this academic year's Stigler Lecture Series. This morning, he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at KUAF to talk about his presentation. I asked him if we know much about how people 10,000 years ago were affected by a dramatic switch in climate.
Oh, yeah, I think very definitely. And this is not just reflecting any work I've done, but German colleagues all over the area have been doing work like this, more often in caves than in lake edges, for example. But yeah, we have a very good handle, number one, on the vegetational changes from a lot of pollen studies that have been preserved, seeing how the whole environment changed at the end of the Ice Age from, well, first of all, from a polar desert, essentially with very few plants at all, to a tundra similar to the high Arctic tundras today, but mixed with grasses and steppe elements. And then gradually trees moving in as the climate became warmer. You first see transition into sort of a pine birch forest that became pretty monotonous. And then gradually trees like oak and maple moved in and the forest became denser but also more varied. And with that pollen background that's well dated now, we can monitor the environmental changes. And then the challenge is to match archaeological evidence with that to see what corresponded, what happened when these forests closed. How did people deal with it? And that's really the focus of my talk here. Big environment transformation. What does the archaeological record tell us? And it tells us there were big changes in people's behavior, basically.
Can you give me one example of, I mean...
All right. Well, the archaeological record we know shows that during the period when it was still cold, still open tundras, people were hunting reindeer, primarily, wild horses to some extent. They were able to predict pretty well where the reindeer would migrate, set up big camps, and these big camps could last through from fall through into winter, possibly into spring. And apparently a lot was going on besides killing reindeer, because we have lots of what we call art objects, carvings and engravings on bone and antler, lots of jewelry and the like turning up in these sites where lots of people apparently were camping. All of that disappears virtually in the next period when we've got closed forests. There are no big sites of virtually nothing that we'd call art or objects of jewelry or adornment. It all disappears, and it looks like a cultural decline, but I think what better word would be adjustment.
The sea levels would change, right?
I mean, sea levels definitely changed.
You had glaciers that were in northern Europe across Scandinavia,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And they were melting.
Sea levels rose. I'm far enough away from the coast that's a very indirect influence on my area. But certainly as sea levels change and the ice melted, we also see changes in ocean currents. And for example, the Gulf Stream, back in the Ice Age, it didn't flow up to Scandinavia the way it does. That warm water didn't go up there. It came straight across the Atlantic, about the level of Spain, the latitude of Spain. And everything north of that was much colder. And gradually, the Gulf Stream formed as climate warmed, and that had an influence, especially on the sort of the Atlantic fringe of Europe, warming it, making it much more maritime, less continental, less extremes of temperature.
You mentioned the vegetation change, the wildlife change as well.
Absolutely. Those reindeer didn't last very long. And they were replaced by more solitary animals like moose and red deer, which are like our elk. Wild horses stayed around for a while. And then as the forests sort of progressed and developed and succeeded, then we have things like wild boar and smaller deer species and the little fur-bearing animals like marten and lynx and things like that. So, yeah, big changes.
Did that mean a change in the food supply?
It had to. Yeah. It had to. And one of the big questions, still pretty outstanding and unanswered, is the role of plant foods. Because the variety of plants increased, a number of these were edible, and the main change we see is the appearance of lots and lots of hazelnuts at sites around 8,000, 7,000 years ago, indicating that at least that seems to have been a big focus, adding to the diet.
Our climate is changing now.
Yeah, apparently.
How fair is it to apply anything we have in the archaeological record to contemporary times?
I've been asked that. And certainly the lessons from archaeology of this period, I don't think are applicable at all, because these were people who lived at very low density. They were hunting and gathering, not producing their own food, moving around a lot. And the way they could respond was so different from what we can do today. The lessons might be that big changes can affect behavior tremendously and have to, and that they can happen rapidly. So that's the only lesson I can see.
Michael Jokum is a professor of anthropology at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and will discuss the last ice age in Central Europe tonight at 6:30 in Giffel's Auditorium in Old Main on the University of Arkansas campus. His presentation is part of the 2013-2014 Stigler Lecture Series in Anthropology.